Well, we are in a series called My Place in This World, and just had in my heart for a number of months and really years, honestly, of helping people to just kind of locate where you're at in life. And so my place in this world is not just your purpose, but kind of your location as well. Remember, we talked about three things: your destination, you have your ultimate destination, and you've got some sub-destinations along the way. Those of you graduating, that was a destination. It's something you planned on, you worked for, and over time and effort, now you arrive there, and now your destination becomes your location. And all of us have a location. Your location is where you are right now in life, your age, your stage, what's going on in life, your status of anything from relationship to work to health and all of those things. So it's important that you locate your location, because that's the only place you can work from. You have to start where you are. And we've encouraged you in this series, starting right where you are, walk with God. Walk with God. Give Him the rightful place in your life, because the only real place to find your place in this world is from the one who placed you in this world, and to have that walking relationship with Him. And so we're going to continue to look at some of those things. Pull up the map, if you will. And this is just for a visual. This is just to kind of help us to think of this metaphor of this journey that we're on. Your life journey is, this was the note at the bottom of this I found online, was an 8-week trip, a coast-to-coast 8-week trip. Well, guess what? That's kind of what you're doing. Not 8 weeks, but you're doing kind of coast to coast. So on your tombstone will be, when you entered, that's one coast. And then we hit the other coast at some point. And as we travel through, we have destinations, we have locations, and very important in this journey are your condition as well. How's the trip going? How's all of that going? How are you doing? The other day, I went to pick up my daughter and grandbaby at the Tampa airport, smooth sailing down there. And then once her flight came in and we started to leave the airport, there's too many cars there and too many people. And it was just jam-packed and not moving. And I thought, this is taking all the fun out of this. And then the baby started crying. And then I started crying. You know, and then we looked for alternate routes and we did that, and then we're smooth sailing again. It's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden we see a sign over the road, and then on the screen, you know, on the GPS thing, major crash, I-75 north, you know, and then we're in standstill traffic again. And you know, how many of you know life is kind of like that? You got some great things, so excited about this. This is going to be awesome. Look how great it's going. What? You know, and life is that kind of mix. And one of the things that happens in life, it's a common thing, it's part of life, is disappointment. Disappointment. And disappointment, like I said, it's part of life. Disappointment is not in what you find. Disappointment is what you expected to find. You drove all that way and then Wally World was closed, you know. Or you went to that favorite restaurant because today's the day they have that special. And you get there and they're either out of it or the cook you like is not there. You know, and it's not in what you found, it's in what you expected to find. So we have disappointment in life. All of us do. But you have to handle the disappointment, because if you don't, disappointment now downgrades, it goes into another category called discouragement. And courage starts to go out of you. And if you don't do something with that, if that's left unattended, that actually goes on down into depression. So you've gone from disappointment, discouragement, depression, and if you keep on that track, you end up in defeat. And it's not the track that any of us want to take. So we have to handle things, and we have to be proactive with so many things. So I'm going to be sharing some things with you today on that. Now look with me in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." It says we know this. Well, if you don't know that, you need to know this. And if you do know it, you need to remember this, that God is good, God does good, and God works all things together for our good. Amen. I want to say it again. God is good, God does good, and God works all things together for our good. Amen. Now, if we forget that, this is going to be a crummy trip for us. And so we certainly want to bear all of that in mind. Now, just as life comes with disappointments. For the believer, life also comes with a virtually unlimited amount of opportunity for fresh starts. How many of you know we get some fresh starts in life? His mercies are new every morning. Not every 6 to 8 weeks, but every morning. Every morning His mercies are new. How many of you, if God has given you a reset before? A fresh start before? You know, and over and over, and I'm so thankful for that. You should be thankful for that. That every day, and not just every day, but throughout the day, virtually unlimited opportunities for fresh starts. Well, I want to give you today a travel list. So keeping with the metaphor of we're on this journey, my place in this world, I want to be kind of like a doting grandma or something, you know, to remind you, don't forget this and don't forget that. And don't forget your emergency cash and don't forget your phone charger. And here, I packed a sandwich for you. And make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you're in an accident, you know. How many of your grandma or your mom ever told you that, right? So you know, it's just to kind of load you up. So I want to share with you, and this is a little different message today, as I teach and coach others in preaching and teaching, I would never recommend they do a message like this. I'm actually going to share 14 things with you, okay? And we're going to hit them kind of quick and keep going. Hold on, take notes, maybe take pictures, because I'll have most of the headlines for you on the screen. And each of these could probably be a series by themselves. But let's go back and look at something real quick before we get into the list. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. There's only one chapter. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." He's saying, I pray and I want for you that things would go well with you. Let me just ask you, it's rhetorical, it's a dumb question, but let me ask you, how many of you want things to go well with you? I mean, you never set out on anything. It's like, man, I hope this goes really bad. No, you want it to go well. You want it to go, be it a picnic, a trip, or whatever it would be. I want this to go well. Well, God wants that for you as well. And He said, I want you to prosper and be in health. I want things to go well with you, and I want you to be in health even as your soul prospers. So from the inside out, God has made provision. He has desire for things to go well with you. Now, we know this. On the terrain that we travel, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be opposition at times. Not everything's going to go perfectly because we're not in heaven yet. And so, but He will help us on this journey. And what I want to share with you today, I believe also is your part. This is your part. And again, not a complete list. And I'm just going to kind of bump into each of these. 14 of them, so get ready. Here's the first one. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, everybody say it. Don't quit. So when we put ones up on the screen, I'm going to have you kind of recall those. That's not for me. I have them all here. I want you to get this. So one more time, don't quit. And my question always is this, well, what do you quit to? So we're walking with God. We're on this journey of life. What do we quit to? And I just want to tell you, don't quit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Don't quit. This verse is actually saying there's a due season out there for you. And that due season, you'll walk into that season if you don't quit. Well, a major tactic, a major strategy of the enemy is to get you to quit, to get you to give up, to get you to stop trying. And, you know, anything that's worth doing, there will be some of that that takes place. Do you know how many times I've quit pastoring? Can't even count them. You know? And don't worry, I'm not a defeatist. I get right back up, get right back up, and realize, you know, what God has called you to do and God helps you to do. But I mean, come on, think of all the things you endeavor to do, or just your walk with God, just the simply trying to have a relationship with God. The enemy wants you to give up, to quit, because when you do, you know what that is? It's a forfeit. So in the win-loss column, a forfeit is a, come on, it's a loss. It's a loss. And if you don't quit, get this, if you don't quit, you can't lose. You won't lose if you don't quit. So first off, don't quit. Second, cry out. Come on, everybody. Cry out. 57 times this phrase is used in Psalms and Proverbs. This is your spiritual 911. This is don't stay quiet. You've got a situation going on. You need to cry out to the Lord. It literally is translated, cry out for help. You're crying out for help. We kind of sang about that today. Look in Psalm 34, verse 17. It says, the righteous, they what? They cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now, last week we talked about this. There are two meanings for that word deliver. We cry out, the Lord hears, and he will deliver us out of. And one of the meanings of deliver is to snatch you out. This is just like a sudden rescue to pull you out of it. We like that one best. But the other one is that he's going to walk you all the way through it. Either way, you're coming out. And so again, we don't quit, but we cry out and the Lord will be with us and he will deliver us, get this, out of all of our troubles. What are our troubles? Would you be willing to admit today that some of your troubles you caused? You know? Guess what? In his mercy, he'll help us with those. And then there's an enemy of our soul, and there's reckless people, and there's mean people, and then there's just stuff that happens. And that creates trouble. That creates pressure and problems and anguish and adversity and on and on. And the Lord said, do what? Cry out. Cry out. Call to the Lord. Call on the name of Jesus. And sometimes all you can muster is this, Jesus, please help me. Please help me. Sometimes I'm in a situation and I'll just say, Holy Spirit, just calling on the Holy Spirit, who is our very present helper to help us. But don't quit, cry out. And third, cast your cares. Come on, everybody say it. Cast your care. Did you know you're not designed? I know you're strong and all of that, but you're just not designed to carry the cares of life. You're not designed to do that. When you carry the cares of life, it exceeds the load limit that you should be carrying. It stresses and actually creates inflammation in your soul, and you overheat. You know, just if you had some kind of tiny hybrid car and you're pulling a giant loaded down trailer behind it, in short order, it's not going to work. It's going to overheat. And the same thing happens with you and I. When we're carrying cares, we are not at our best. And the Bible tells us to cast those cares over onto the Lord. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And this is a skill. This is something you can develop in, that instead of carrying the care, you cast the care. And that New Testament Greek word for cast means to hurl away with force. You have some energy behind it that you want to get it away from you, get it off of you. We've got to cast our cares on the Lord, not just anywhere. Cast them on the Lord because he cares for us. Amen. Next is this, encourage yourself. Say that. This is also a skill you have to get. You've got to get this. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David had a situation that I don't think you'll ever have a situation that will rival his set of circumstances when he did this. And the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. With our staff pastors and leaders and other leaders and pastors that I interact with, this is one of the things I encourage them in to develop in, is the ability to encourage yourself. Because how many of you know sometimes you may not have people within proximity that are encouragers? How many of you know there's a lot of discouragers? You know, and some people just don't have the tools or whatever to be able to encourage. And some people have never been encouraged themselves. They can't pass it on. But listen to me, people, you've got to learn to be able to encourage yourself. So when David encouraged himself, he cheered himself on. He cheered himself up. He used God's words. He used his own words. He used his thoughts. Now, here's something that plagues us at times is our thoughts. Our thoughts can kind of bounce around and ricochet. It's like, you know, a Super Bowl on a pool table with no holes. It just keeps on going. And sometimes that keeps you up at night. What do you do with thoughts like this? Some people say resist those thoughts. Guess what? You're not going to be able to resist thoughts. You don't resist thoughts. You replace thoughts. Did you hear that? You don't just resist them. You replace them. How do you replace them? You have to use words. And the best way to use your words is actually to kick in your speech centers, to actually speak out good things, say things, encourage yourself, counsel yourself. Are y'all hearing me today? How would you counsel somebody else? I ask people that a lot. You know, they say, well, I'm going through this and this. And they're mature and they're, you know, they should be able. And I say, well, what would you tell somebody else? And you need to encourage yourself, counsel yourself, and remind yourself and cheer yourself up and cheer yourself on using those words. Psalm 42, verse 5 and 6, David is actually talking to himself, to his soul. And he says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. All of that is self-conversation right there. He's checking on. He's monitoring his soul. What's going on? Why am I down? Why am I upset? What's going on here? And then he shifts his hope and his focus to God, his Savior and his God. Encourage yourself. Say that one more time. Encourage yourself. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about this journey. This journey. We cannot quit. We can't just get stuck and stay stuck. So we're going to have to don't quit. Cry out, cast your cares, encourage yourself. And here's the next one, walk humbly. Come on, say it. Walk humbly. This is especially for those that when everything's going great. How many of you have ever had a season of your life where it just seems like everything's just going great for you? Okay, take a picture of it. Okay. But some people, I don't know, and I don't think it's good for them. You know, that for everything to be going great because they get more and more sure of themselves. And the Bible says this, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace upon grace to the humble. So you have to be extra careful when things are going smooth and going great. Micah 6:8 says this, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and here it is, and to walk humbly with your God. Now look in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, 24, in the Message paraphrase. God's message, don't let the wise brag of their wisdom. Don't let heroes brag of their exploits. Don't let the rich brag of their riches. If you brag, brag of this and this only, that you understand and know me. It didn't say they weren't wise. It didn't say that they hadn't done exploits and were a hero. It didn't say that they weren't rich or go on and on and on with that. But we have to be careful that we get real smug in our own abilities, that we feel like that we did this somehow. The Bible actually tells us in the book of Proverbs that you're not to brag on yourself. You're not to praise yourself. You're to let somebody else do it. How many of you know it's not really attractive when people brag about themselves? Do you see how good I look today? I'm awesome again, you know? And it's just not attractive. And even if it's true, you know, you have to be super careful of this, and especially when things are going smooth in your life. You know, so when I finish a message, I always ask you, because here's my goal. Did you get anything out of it? Did you get anything out of it? Instead of like, that was awesome. God, how do I do it? Deuteronomy tells us that when you start doing that, when you start to think that I did this. It's the strength of my hands. It's my wit. It's my ability. He said, when you do that, and you can go back and read it in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 through the end of that chapter, things are going to go really bad. So once you forget that it's the Lord your God who gives you the power to do anything, when you start to think that it's you and you start to say, I did this, things are going to go sideways and south pretty quick. And you don't want that, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace and grace to the humble. Walk humbly. Amen? Next is this. Walk in faith. Walk in faith. Come on, say it with me. Walk in faith. What does that mean? You just live your life trusting in God. You live your life with this expectation of watch what God will do. I trust God. God can get me through anything. There's nothing that God cannot do, help, or fix. And you just put your trust and put your hope in God. When you do, you're going to be more positive. You're going to be more hopeful. You're going to have an expectation of God. You're going to have an expectation of good. How many of you know that it's not a lot of fun to hang around a person who's negative all the time? And negativity, it's just a drain. And when you're negative, then you complain about everything. You'll describe everything. It's just wearisome. It's just wearisome. And I'd rather live the life of faith. I'd rather be positive. I'd rather believe and know, I don't know how he's going to do it, but God's going to come through somehow. Amen. Well, I don't know. See what it does to your voice when you do that? And so you just need to put your trust in God. Walk by faith. Have an expectation that God's going to come through for you. It's been said that life has two handles. Every situation has two handles, a handle of faith or a handle of anxiety. And I'd rather grab hold of that handle of faith and trust God that he's going to come through you. Amen. Next, and very important, watch your words. Come on, say it. Watch your words. Your words matter. Watch your words. They matter. Words are powerful. Build up or hush up. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 18:21 in the Message, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Make sure how you're speaking to yourself, about yourself, or your situation. You know, don't ever speak about yourself, to yourself, or over your situation what you wouldn't let somebody else speak over someone or something that you love. You know, if someone was running down one of my grandbabies and, they're never, you know, with that, I'm stepping in. But yet we just soak ourselves. We pressure wash ourselves. It's like sandblasting ourselves at times. It's so stupid. I never get anything right. Nobody likes me. You better cut all that junk out. Words are so important. Don't take the words of failure. Don't take the words of assault. Don't take the words of others and project them on you or what you're setting your hand to do. Are you hearing me on that? Almost all of your insecurities are the results of somebody else's words. Almost all of your areas of confidence are the results of somebody else's words. And it's time that you take God's words, align your words with his words, and start to speak words of life over you and everything that concerns you. Watch your words. Don't just go on this negative tirade, you know, of everything about your life. It's been said that you can have what you say, or you can just say what you have. Did you catch the difference? You can have what you say, or you can just say what you have, but watch your words. Your words are very important. Next, work hard. Come on, say it. Work hard. Don't be lazy. Be diligent. The rewards and the outcomes are drastically different between those who work hard and are diligent and those that are lazy. Huge difference. 14 verses in the book of Proverbs alone warning us about laziness. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Put your back into it. Put your heart into it. And I'm telling you something. If you're a hard worker, there will always be something for you to do. People will always want a hard worker, a problem solver. Be that kind of person, and it will help you on your trip. If you're lazy in this journey, it's not going to go well with you. Work hard. Here's another one we'll touch on just real quick. Find your gifts and walk in them. Find your gifts and walk in them. There are assessments you can take. If you go to Growth Track, they'll run you through an assessment that helps you find out some of your motivational gifts. Find your gifts. Find what you're good at. That's how God has kind of wired you. Find those things and walk in them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you, say that's me. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Find your gifts and walk in them. Next, find your friends and walk with them. Find your friends. How many of you know who you hang out with matters? How many of you ever been in trouble before because of who you're hanging out with? How many of you know that others got in trouble because they were hanging out with you, all right? So it matters. The Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good character. It always mattered to Alicia and I raising our kids who they were hanging out with. I know I probably have told all five of my kids along the way, you're not hanging out with them. But Dad, they're so cool. You're not hanging out with them. And you can be friendly to them. You can still go to the same school with them. They're not coming over to my house. And you're not going over to their house. You know, and it matters. It matters until we learn to discern that for ourselves. It matters who you hang out with. And here's the good part. Virtually all blessings come through relationships. Virtually all blessings come through relationships. Make sure, find your friends. Get into a small group. Go, you know, get on a dream team. Be careful to get people in your life that add to your life. You can add to them. Find your friends and walk with them. Got just a couple more here. Light your path. Light your path. You cannot afford a dark path ahead of you. Psalm 119, verse 105. By your words, these are God's words, I can see where I'm going. They threw a beam of light on my dark path. You're going to need God's word. And listen to me and trust me in this. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. And by having the word of God, bringing the word of God into your heart and into your mind and into your life, it lights up your path. It's going to help you to be able to understand things, discern things, separate things, and know what to do. The word of God supernaturally is able to light from the inside. Light your path and light it well. Next, very simple, do not go prayerless. Your future, come on, say that with me. Do not go prayerless. Your future is paved in prayer. And you know this from James chapter 4, verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask. Why do we just rush into our day or just rush into a problem or rush into a project and we haven't asked God, God, would you help me with this? God, would you help me to sort this out? God, would you give me the strength? Would you give me the wisdom? Would you show me who I'm to do this with? God, will you guide me in this? Ask God. Ask God. Do not go on this journey prayerless. Next and very important, stay full. Come on, say it. Stay full. And this is about the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Be filled. And it's an imperative. It's a command. It's a continuous and repeated thing. Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. This is no trip. This journey of life is nothing to do. You do not want to do it without the Holy Spirit in your life. And so, again, be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Who is He? He's the helper, the comforter, the intercessor, advocate, counselor, teacher, wisdom, guide, healer, shield, strengthener, standby, on and on and on. The fruit of the Spirit He'll produce in you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, we need the Holy Spirit. Not a little dab of do ya. I mean, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit every day. Amen? I got one last one for you. Gratitude is the secret sauce. Come on, everybody say it. Gratitude is the secret sauce. Let me just share this story with you. Matthew Henry, this is back in the mid-1800s. How many of you have seen the Matthew Henry commentaries? They're a classic Bible study commentary. Matthew Henry one evening got mugged. And in case you don't know what mugged is, he didn't just get robbed, he got beat up a little bit. And so he goes back and he writes in his journal. And I can imagine reading some of your journals after you got mugged. But hear what Matthew Henry said. He said, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, let me be thankful that although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, let me be thankful because although they took my all, it was not all that much. And fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Amen. Gratitude helps us keep alert and awake to God's active goodness in our life. Gratitude impacts our brain, even our immunity system. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. One of the best things you can do as you travel through this journey is just to stay grateful. Just stay grateful. It's the secret sauce of the happy, healthy life. It's the secret sauce that even when things are not going the way you wanted to, I say this all the time, you're way more blessed than you are bothered. Find those things, the goodness of God, the active goodness of God in your life. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a much better trip. Well, there's 14 things real quick. They all fit and work together. And I promise you, it won't make for a perfect trip, but it's going to make for a way better trip. It's going to help to make sure you get there and that you look like something when you get there too. Amen? Amen. Do you get anything at all out of this today? All right.